Turn to 3 John chapter 2. 3 John. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. 3 John chapter 2. I mean, 3 John verse 2, sorry. Hallelujah. 3 John verse 2. Chapter 2. Hallelujah. 3 John verse 2. Everybody there? Would you read it with me? Praise God. Let's read it together. Beloved, I pray that you may what? Prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Very powerful. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. So we know that one of the things of walking in the truth is bringing prosperity. But let me share something about prospering. And I want to talk about key to prospering. The word prosper means to push forward. To push forward. Hello? Everybody thinks it's a big wad of cash. That's not prosper. That's a part of it, but that's not prospering means that you're pushing forward. You're going on. You're pushing forward. And it says something very powerful. It says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health. Amen? So we know that prospering just isn't about financial or material things. It's about health, isn't it? About being healthy. That's an area of prospering. It means you're pushing forward. You're going. You're taking ground. You're taking what's yours. You're prospering. But it says something very important. It says, just as your soul prospers. So we know that unless your soul prospers, there isn't prospering. Does everybody understand it? Now your soul is your mind, your emotions, and your will. Your mind, your emotions, and your will. So they must prosper. That's why the Bible tells us to renew our mind, right? Which means bring to remembrance. Go to John chapter 10. So your soul is made of three parts. Mind, emotions, and will. Amen? Now go to John chapter 10, please. Hallelujah. Key to prospering. What's prosper mean? To push forward. John 10. In verse 7. Is everybody with me? John 10 and verse 7. Glory to God. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the what?
I am the door.
I am the door of the what?
Sheep.
I want to explain something. Okay, your soul is your mind, your emotions, and your will. Your will is the door to your spirit. See, because what you choose to do, what you choose to accept is known as your will. Hello? When you agree with it, your will is a door to your spirit. That's how people's spirits get contaminated. Is everybody with me? Jesus said something very powerful. He said, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the what? Will of the sheep. Is everybody with me? I am the will of the sheep. In other words, God's will. Wasn't Jesus God's will that was manifested? Amen. And all whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be what? Saved. And will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to what? Steal and to kill and to destroy. Who's the thief? Satan, the kingdom of darkness. But I have come that they may what? Have life and that they may have it more abundantly. More abundantly. So, you know, you and I are supposed to have life abundantly, aren't we? That means prosper. That means going what? Forward. That's why the Bible talks about those who go backwards. We're to be going forward. That's how we're prospering. Amen? So again, I want to share with you that the will, which is a part of your soul, is the door to your spirit. So when the devil shoots those fiery darts and you agree with him, no matter what, offense is the number one thing that opens the door to your spirit to contaminate you. Offense. And what happens is when that door opens, you can contaminate that spirit. Amen? Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. In other words, I am the will of the sheep. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 6. Oh, hallelujah. How many of y'all want to prosper? Amen. Amen. Well, there's a price for prospering. We all have that famous three-letter word here. It's called die. Death to self, hallelujah. You ain't dead yet, you won't prosper. You'll go backwards instead of forward. Hello? That kind of wraps it all up, doesn't it? Okay, everybody can go home now. 2 Samuel, chapter 6. In verse 11, the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. 3 months, and the Lord what? Blessed Obed-Edom and all of his household. What did he do? He blessed it. Now, what was there? The ark of the what? Ark of the covenant. Now, it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him, because the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark. He wasn't dumb. He said, man, I'm going to go get that because that's my blessing, man. I know there's something I need to have. So David goes and he gets up and takes the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. You betcha he was glad. And it was so when those bearing the ark of the Lord that they had gone six paces, every six paces, that they sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Then David danced before the Lord with all of his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. In other words, he was joyful. Every six paces, can you imagine every six paces they stopped and sacrificed an animal? Is that powerful or what? You know why? Because he knew that he had the blessing of God. When you got God's presence, there's prospering. The first key to prosperity or prospering, the key to prospering, is to have the presence of God. If you do not have the presence of God, there's no way you can do it. You're going to bust your butt trying to get ahead. And the devil's going to end up stealing it anyway. Amen? Everybody with me? Now listen, this is very powerful. Every six paces, David knew, because the blessing of the Lord is a representation of his favor. He knew that as David sacrificed these animals to him, they would be restored. Didn't matter. Didn't matter. So the first key to prospering is the presence of the Lord. Is everybody with me? Now they had the ark, didn't they? They carried the ark in the Old Testament, which was known as God's presence. And in the ark was something special. I want to go to Exodus 25. Exodus 25. So prospering just doesn't mean that you have a load of cash or, you know, you have all kinds of stuff and whatever. That's not what it's about. The first area that you and I want to prosper in is in the spirit. That's why you never judge anyone by what possessions they have or materials they have. Never. You judge them by their fruit. You judge them how they walk with the Lord. You judge them and how their reverence is to God. Amen? You know, one of the things that even with people get married or considering marriage or whatever, or, you know, because there's no dating in the kingdom of God, there's courting. And it always begins, and I'm not going to teach on marriage tonight, but I'm going to at some time. One of the things that you want to do in any area of that degree is you bring the individual who's interested, whatever, into functions in the ministry. Because you're not trying to prove anything to the person. What you want to show that person is where you're at with God. If they're not willing to come along, see ya. Hello. Everybody with me? If they're not willing, listen, you're not trying to prove nothing to nobody. You're letting them see where you are with your daddy. Why? Because his presence is more than anything that you could ever ask for. There is nothing satisfying than his presence. Amen? Too many people, of course, that's the difference between lust, isn't it? I mean, people say, yes, it's love at first sight. No, that was lust at first sight. That's a whole nother teaching, and we'll just continue on with this, okay? Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, Exodus 25 and verse 17, praise be to God. What's the most important thing in your life? God's what? Presence. Read it with me. Now the Lord is speaking to Moses, and he's preparing a place for God. God is preparing a place for him to speak to his people and to dwell with his people. He says, you shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits its width. And you shall make 2 cherubim of gold, of hammered work. You shall make them at the 2 ends of the mercy seat. Make 1 cherub at one end, and the other cherub at the other end. You shall make the cherubim at the 2 ends of it of 1 piece with the mercy seat. And the cherubim shall stretch out their wings above, covering the mercy seat with their wings. And they shall face one another. The faces of the cherubim shall be toward the mercy seat. You shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark. And in the ark you shall put the testimony that I will give you. And there I will meet with you, and I will speak with you. And above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubim, which are on the ark of the testimony, about everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. Now that's very powerful. Here God was going to meet his people, wasn't he? He was going to speak to Moses and the high priest every time. Where? In his presence. In his presence. Did you ever notice that Friday nights or during the worship, whatever, sometimes the best time you can hear God is when everything settles down, the Holy Spirit begins speaking to you. You know why? Because you just entered his presence. His presence is always there waiting for me and you. See, we worship and whatever because what we're doing is changing the atmosphere around us so we can meet his atmosphere. Is everybody with me? See, because light's coming out. God is light. As you begin worshiping the Lord and dancing before the Lord, light is beginning to engulf you. It's light that comes out of you. And this light begins to engulf you and flow around you. And all of a sudden your flesh becomes crucified. And you don't care how you feel anymore. You're looking for him and there's a thirst and hunger. And he's right there. His presence is right there. And then the light that's around you meets his light. You're in his presence, and you're able to hear. Sometimes it's not even a word. It's an impartation that you just know that you know that you know. Oh, hallelujah. So the ark was a representation of God's presence. God would speak to his people there because his presence is the most important thing. Amen? Now I want to go what's in the ark. Hebrews chapter 9. The key to prospering is God's presence, the first thing, isn't it? God's presence. We got to have God's presence, isn't it? Oh, hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 9. Oh, to God be the glory. verses 2 through 5. Would you read it with me? Hebrews chapter 9, verses 2 through 5. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind a second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant, overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of the glory, overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot speak in detail. Now it's very powerful because in this ark was three major things. What's the body made of? Spirit, soul, and what? Body. Amen? You're made of what? Three parts, a spirit, a soul, and a body, aren't you? And there's three parts of the soul, isn't there? There's the mind, the emotions, and the will. Amen? See, what it does is it represents the tabernacle, the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. So your flesh is known as the outer court, your soul is known as the holy place, and your spirit is the most holy place because your spirit communes with God, your soul interprets what God is saying, and your flesh does the works, or your body does the works because you have dominion over it. Hello. Now, in this ark, which is a representation of me and you now, is everybody with me? That's me and you. We are now the ark of the covenant. Why? Because you and I have been bought by covenant. We are now the ark of the covenant. That's why the Lord says, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the night that they were all baptized in the Holy Spirit, fire came over each and every one of them. Why? Because the ark was led by fire by night and cloud by day, wasn't it? Amen? So understand that you and I are the ark. That's when the presence of God, Jesus told him, he said, listen, man, this temple here is going to be destroyed, and I'm going to raise it in 3 days. And they were like, what? But they didn't know he was talking about him. Sometimes our finite mind can't comprehend that you are now the ark of the covenant. You know, they're looking for the ark of the covenant. Man, we're here. What's the matter with you? Well, because I don't have gold on. Because I don't have a Mr. T starter kit? Hallelujah. Now the manna represented the bread of life. The bread of life, the food, the revelation that was going to come down for you. The manna was a representation of the voice of God. Hello? It was the bread of life, revelation, the voice of God, manna. That's how he fed his people, wasn't it? Hallelujah. Aaron's rod that budded represented your priesthood. In other words, you are to now minister to the Lord. Your office, your position. And the tablets of the covenant were the law. That was the law. Amen? Now listen, the law of the tablets was the guidance. That was going to guide us. The tablets of the law was a representation of our tutor, or the Word of God now. Amen? Is everybody with me? The tutor. Go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Oh, hallelujah. Praise be to God. Everybody there? In verse 36. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God, what? Anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit, which meant His presence, right? And with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Everybody read this next part with me. For God was with him. For God was what?
With
him. There's a total difference, isn't there? There's a lot of people who have been baptized in the Holy Ghost, but God ain't with them. What do you mean? Yeah, he's within us, isn't he? Let me tell you, when God is with you, there's prospering. Hello. There's a difference between getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. Yes, you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. The presence of God is there, isn't he? Amen? Because the Bible says he who's in you is greater than he who's in the world. But there's a difference. Because there's many people who have been baptized in the Holy Ghost but are still not right with God. Or they've chosen to go the other way, so God's not with them even though they've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Is everybody with me? Come on, some of us were in that circumstance. We were baptized in the Holy Spirit, but we chose to do our own way. And God was not with us. The Bible says he never leaves us nor forsakes us, does he? But there's a difference. The word with us means he's with you in favor. Does everybody want to understand that? He's with you. Again, Jesus was baptized with the Holy Ghost with power. And God was with him. There is a difference of having God with you or not. And one of the things that we want is God with us. Amen? That means that we have to be pure. That means that we've got to keep ourselves. That means we've got to be careful in the things and what we touch. We've got to be quick to repent of any goofy thing that we do. That means we've got to die daily. In every decision, you've got to die. And make sure that your decision is associated with the kingdom of God and not yourself. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
2 Chronicles chapter 20. Oh, praise God. Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Thank you, Father. In verse 20. Now King Jehoshaphat was getting attacked. He gathered everybody. He said, man, let's fast and pray. He knew he was outnumbered. There's no way he could beat all the military that was coming against him, and he sought the Lord. And the Lord sent a prophet, spoke to them. And in verse 20, it says that they all rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, King Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. What does it say? Believe in the Lord your God. What's the word believe mean? Follow. Believe in the Lord your God. Follow him. And you shall what? Be established. And believe his what? Prophets. And you shall what? Now what were his prophets doing? They were speaking the word of the Lord, weren't they? Amen? In other words, follow the word. Follow the unction. Follow what God is saying. So believe, follow the Lord. And believe or follow the things he's telling you to do. And what does it say? And you shall what? Prosper. Okay? You follow the Lord, you're going to be established. You believe, you follow what he's telling you to do, and you're going to what? Prosper. Is everybody with me? You understand? Oh, you can be saying, well, I'm following the Lord. You may be following the Lord when you want to follow the Lord. But if you're not listening and obeying what he's asking you to do, you're not prospering. You're not going forward. Is everybody with me? There's a difference. Hallelujah. Let me share something with you. One of the things that we talked about, the key to prosper is His presence, isn't it? The key to His presence is obedience. Hello? The key to prospering is His presence, and the key to His presence is obedience. First Chronicles chapter 22. First Chronicles, chapter 22, verse 13. Now, there's seven areas that I want to discuss that are essential to prospering. Okay, now I'm sharing with you that there are a few major areas, but then there's the characteristics that I want to talk about also. And there are seven of them, things that you and I must do. Now, we know that we got to have His presence, right? We know that without obedience, His presence isn't there, right? I mean, these are simple character areas that we've got to know. But then there are seven things that you and I want to call these the seven keys, okay? I want to call these the seven keys. Am I confusing anybody? Is everybody okay? Okay, the key to prospering is His presence. Key to His presence is obedience, right? But there are seven keys or characters or things that you and I must do to fulfill this area. In 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 13, it says, "Then you will prosper," what? "If you take care to fulfill the statutes and the judgments with which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage, and do not fear nor be what? Dismayed." The first thing that you and I must do is be faithful. We must be faithful to God. We must be what? Faithful. You won't have God's presence if you're not faithful. Why? Because if you're not faithful, you're not obedient, are you? Remember, the key to prospering is His presence. The key to His presence is obedience. Go to 2 Chronicles 26. Now, what does the key do? It opens, doesn't it? Oh, hallelujah. Second Chronicles 26, verse 22. Oh, no. Second Chronicles 26 and verse 5. I'm sorry. Let's go back to verse 3. Oh, you brought your Holy Ghost pencils. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah or something like that, of Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. And he what? He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him what? Prosper. So the first thing that you and I must do is what? Be faithful. And the second thing we must do is what? Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. The Bible says, "Seek ye the kingdom of God, and all things will be what? Added unto you." Key to prospering is God's presence. Key to His presence is obedience. Glory to God. 2 Chronicles 31. Praise you, Master. chapter 31. Is everybody all right? Second Chronicles 31:21. Let's start at 20. Thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah, and he did what was good and right and true before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, in the law and in the commandments, to seek his God, he did it with what? All of his heart, so he what? Prosper. Let me tell you something. If your heart ain't in it, it doesn't matter. That's why the Bible says be a joyful giver. Don't give because you have to. You won't get nothing. Man, I got to do this again. I got to tithe. I got to worship. Crucify that flesh. Turn that heart towards God and do it with all of your heart. Whatever God has given you to do, do it with all your heart. Labor unto the Lord no matter what you do. No matter what you're doing. So the first thing we talked about is be faithful, be a seeker, and do it with what? All of your heart. Just like it was your own. All of your heart. And it says, so he prospered. In Proverbs 8, I try to tell it to people, man, if your heart ain't in it, you're not going anywhere. That's why you got to catch the vision. Hallelujah. Proverbs 8:21. That I may what? Cause those who love me to inherit wealth. That I may fill the treasure. You know that God is trying to cause you to prosper? He's trying to cause you to prosper. David said, cause me. You read Psalm 119. And all over through one Psalm 19, he goes, 119, he goes, cause me to know your will. Cause me to walk upright. Cause me. See, because you know, you and I can't do it. But God is trying to cause us to prosper. Isn't that something? You know, so many times the devil tells you, man, I just don't get it, man, you know. How come one's prospering and I'm not prospering? When's it my turn? The devil always throws it to you. What am I going to get what I want? You're not. So, quit going for it. Let God be God. You know how many times you've asked for things and you got it and it wasn't God? Hello? So many people ask for freedom. You know what they're asking for freedom from? From God. Some of the first words I've heard of guys who come out of the discipleship power, man, I can't wait to get my freedom. Where you been? Well, you might as well put the shackles on now. You know, think about it. Because the devil convinces us that the freedom in the spirit is bondage. See, the reason why people want freedom is because they want to go back to the world and don't even realize it. Man, I can't wait to get my freedom. Hallelujah. Click, click. Here comes freedom. Freedom from yourself. Freedom from responsibility. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. Glory. Glory to God. In verse 19. All right, 18. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Glory to God. Would you read it with me? Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isn't it wild that everybody thought their sins were black? There are scars in their body. You know what I'm saying? Everybody, man, you know, it's like a dark mark in our soul or something. Well, your sins are not that color. They are red. Our sins is what puts the stripes on Jesus. Is everybody with me? That's why they're red. Hello? They're red. That's why he was whipped for me and you. Those were our sins. That's why they pierced him, because all the blood, that's why God's blood had to come into the world, because it was a representation of the exchange for your and my sins. That's why they are red, because it represents blood. Hello? Oh, hallelujah. Verse 19. If you are willing and what? Obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now, we just talked about a few things. And number one was to be faithful. Number two was to be a seeker. Number three was to do it with all of your heart. And the fourth one is you must be willing. Does everybody understand it? You must be willing, no matter what. It's not your choice, even though you have a choice. But you must be willing. Well, and you can't go by how you feel. Did you notice that the three parts of the soul was the mind, emotions, and the will? They're not one. They're separate. So if you're going to go by how you feel, you'll always be misled. Feelings have nothing to do with being led. Is everybody with me? Majority of the time you go by what you feel, you're going to find out about 90% of the time it's incorrect. And you go by how you feel, it's wrong. You go by how you are led. Is everybody with me? Amen? See, so we know that if we're willing, what we're doing is we're opening our door to the Holy Spirit, because what we're doing, we're willing, right? What's will mean? The door, isn't it? So when you and I make a choice of willing, we're willing to do whatever it takes. We're willing, we're opening our door to the Spirit of the living God. We're opening our door to the treasures and the rich treasures that God has for us, that He wants to impart in me and you when you become willing. Go to 1 Samuel 18. Oh, hallelujah. Simple, sweet, short teaching tonight. And to God be all the glory. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 18. Starting at verse 12 through 14, would you read it with me? Now Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from his presence and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved wisely in all of his ways, and the Lord was with him. Now, the fifth thing we need to do is to get godly wisdom. We need to have godly wisdom. Not the wisdom of the world. Not the wisdom of familiar spirits. Not the wisdom in how you feel. Not the wisdom of what the world tells you. Now, some of those things may be facts. You may have a broken arm or a broken hand or whatever. That's a fact. But the truth is, by the stripes of Jesus, you're healed. Hello? See, wisdom tells us what to do. Wisdom tells you what to do. You can have all the knowledge. But wisdom tells knowledge what to do, or tells you what to do with the knowledge. Go to Proverbs 3. It says, David walked with wisdom, and God was with him. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 3. So David walked with, or behaved wisely. He had godly wisdom. And he prospered. God was with him, wasn't he? Amen. And in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13, would you read it with me? 13 through 14. Somewhere around there. We can just flow through. Read it with me. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gained in fine gold. Keep going. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Go ahead. Length of days is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Wisdom. Has everybody got it? Wisdom. And David walked, behaved in godly wisdom, and the Lord was with him. And that's the fifth thing that you and I need to have. Go to Job 36. Employment section. Job 36. I think Covenant Builders is in there somewhere, isn't it? Job 36. Hallelujah. Job 36. In verse 5. Behold, God is mighty, but despises no one. He is mighty in strength of understanding. He does not... Is everybody with me? Nobody's reading it? Come on, read it with me. He does not preserve the life of the wicked, but gives justice to the oppressed. He does not withdraw his eyes from the righteous, but they are on the throne with kings. For he has seated them forever, and they are exalted. And if they are bound in fetters, held in the cords of affliction, then he tells them their work and their transgressions, that they have acted defiantly. He also opens their ears to instruction, and commands that they turn from iniquity. If they obey and serve him, they will spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Now listen, here's the other thing. You must be willing to serve. That's a servant's heart, isn't it? So the first thing, you must be faithful. You must be a seeker. You must do it all with your all of your heart. You must be willing. You must have godly wisdom. And you must be willing to serve God, the kingdom of God, in whatever capacity, in whatever he asks you to do. Now listen, you know, think about it. Look at what disobedience did to Adam and Eve. Threw everything off course, didn't it? And actually removed the presence of God. They were removed from God's presence, weren't they? Amen? Now, they were prospering, weren't they? And then disobedience removed them from the presence of God. Look at how many people have been disobedient and it's caused them to remove from God's presence. Go to Psalm 51. Verse 10, David cried out to the Lord and he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me what? Away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and then uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Oh, hallelujah. David cried out for God's presence, didn't he? Why, you know what? Others will be convicted. They'll want to know what you have. And what you have is God's presence. Amen? I remember one time I went to an AA meeting. Hallelujah, believe it or not, I went to an AA meeting. Of course, I wouldn't say, hi, my name is such and such, and I'm a drug addict. They didn't like that. I told them I was blessed, and I'm no longer a drug addict. They always tried to throw me out, but they couldn't get the knowledge to. Because he was in me is greater than he was all of them in that room. Hallelujah. And there was, you know, I wanted to share something. And the Holy Spirit said, no. I said, all right. And they'd be talking for a while, and somebody else would share something. I said, no. And he said, no. He didn't let me share nothing the whole time. But it was though as I was sitting there, it was like I sensed the Holy Spirit coming out of me and walking around that room and ministering to people. So I got in my car, and I started driving. And next thing you know, this guy is on the side of the road waving me down. He says, man, I need to talk to you. And he was in the meeting. The Lord said, see, I showed you. And he wanted to ask me some questions and so forth. And whatever. I thought, man, that's powerful. He says, wherever you go, my presence is. If I'm with you, I'm ministering to someone. That's all you need to do is sit there and bring me there. And I thought, whoa. And this guy wanted to know all kinds of stuff and whatever. And I didn't get a chance to say anything. Man, Holy Spirit just put his hand over my mouth and said, be quiet. And it was though I was sitting in this room, and it was though I sensed him come out of me and walk around the room and minister to people. Powerful, isn't it? God's presence. And that's what he's saying right here. Don't cast me from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Why? Because then I'll teach transgressors and I'll convert them to you. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Proverbs 28. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 18. Read it with me. Whoever walks blamelessly will be what? Wow. Well, that blows that theology of once saved, always saved, doesn't it? It's even written in the Old Testament. Whoever walks blamelessly will be saved. But he who is perverse in his ways will suddenly what? Fall. Read verse 20. A faithful man will abound with blessing. Faithful man will abound with blessing. But he who what? Hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. Oh, hallelujah. And we just talked about key to prospering is God's presence. The key to God's presence is obedience. And the key to obedience is faith. Faith. Without faith, you can't please God. You know why? Because obedience is associated with trust, isn't it? Trust is associated with faith. Because you're putting your trust in the Lord, aren't you? That's faith, isn't it? Amen? Now listen. And the key to faith is what? Hearing God's word, isn't it? Does everybody understand that? So let me repeat this. The key to prospering is God's presence. The key to God's presence is obedience. The key to obedience is faith. And the key to faith is God's word. You got to hear, don't you? Hearing. Now, his word is not just some doctrine. His word is the doctrine of obedience. Is everybody with me? His word is the doctrine of obedience. More faith you have, the more you obey. The less faith you have, the less you will obey. Is everybody all right? What does it say? Show me your faith, I'll show you my works. Amen? Not that faith is just by works, but faith comes by hearing. In other words, we're not assuming. We're taking what God is not only saying in his word, but we're here doing what he's saying in the spirit to us. So you're not going to move by assumption. You're going to move by faith, aren't you? Remember I share with you, your spirit communes with God, your soul interprets what God is saying, and your body does the what? Works. You're either listening to a clean spirit, known as the Holy Spirit, or an unclean spirit. And you're confirming it not only with the word, but with the unction of God's presence in your life. Hello? Go to Romans 10. Hallelujah. Verse 14. Romans 10, 14. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Would you read it with me? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, did Isaiah not know first? Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. But to Isaiah he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. So, listen. One of the things it says, first of all, is very important. This is the seventh thing. Don't move until you're sent. Don't move until you are sent. You want God's favor? You want his prospering? Do not move until you are sent. So the first thing is to be faithful. The second one is to be a seeker. The third one is to do it all with all of your heart. The fourth one is you must be willing. The fifth one is to get godly wisdom. The sixth one is to be willing and desire to be a servant or to serve in the kingdom. And the seventh one is do not move until you are sent. I'll go to Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27. Verse 23. Would you read it with me? Be diligent to know the state of your flocks. Hello. You better be diligent to know the state of your flock. What's your flock? You. What's your state? Hello. Better be diligent to know the state of what's going on around you. What's your state? And attend to your herds, things that God has given you. For riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. When the hay is removed and the tender grass shows itself, and the herbs of the mountains are gathered in, the lambs will provide your clothing, and the goats the price of a field. You shall have enough goat's milk for your food, for the food of your household, and the nourishment of your maidservants. Praise God, I love goat milk. I got a freezer full of goat milk. Praise be to God. Why? It's one of the most nutritious things that you could drink is goat milk. Amen? Well, for some of you that don't know, goat milk is a very nutritional drink for us. And he's talking about, listen, and how you're keeping yourself. 10 to not only yourself and your flock. As a shepherd, I must tend to my flock. It's not my flock, it's his, isn't it? It's just, it's the office. Those who God sent here, it's important that truth gets out. I'm accountable, aren't I? Hello? And you're accountable. Because anyone that God puts around you, he gives you a flock. There isn't a person in this room that doesn't have a flock. Even right now. Hello? And what you do is going to affect that flock, isn't it? It's going to flock everyone, affect everyone around you. It's going to flock everyone around you. Hallelujah. So make sure you're not flocking around, all right? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad we're not religious? Praise God. Go to Psalm 1, would you? Psalm 1. Glory! Yeah. Glory to God. Psalm chapter 1. You guys will be laughing about that for a while. Hallelujah. Would you read verses 1 through 3? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Do you want to be that? Praise God. Go to Matthew 25 and we'll close here. We'll start meditating and putting into practice these 7 things that we just talked about. Implement them in your life. Just do it. Don't go by how you feel. Do it. Don't be worried about pleasing man. Please God. Hello? Let Daddy build your house. Everything we've built has always fallen. Matthew 25. Thank God. The guidance of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for his mercies and grace and the power of his love. Thank God for the blood of the Lamb. That when we do blow it, we can repent quickly and washed and repositioned again. Amen? Let's see. Hallelujah. In verse 21. This is what we want to hear. Isn't everybody read it? His Lord said to him, "Well done, and good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Enter into the joy of your Lord. You know, there isn't anything greater than that when you're pleasing God. And there isn't anything worse knowing that you're not. Amen. Listen, God desires that we prosper, but first prospering in the Spirit, prospering with Him. It does take death. It does take total surrender. Because you and I can't do it on our own. He's going to give you the wisdom and how to prosper also. Not only spiritually, physically, but financially. If you're listening, He's going to tell you what's good to eat for you. Hello? Which is good for you. If you're listening, He's going to tell you where to work and what to do. He's going to position you to bless you. He's going to put you in a place of not stumbling, but in a place of prospering and promotion. Is everybody with me? I mean, it's so important that we really come out because, see, there's going to be such a move of the Spirit. I mean, the move of the Spirit is already happening. I mean, we don't have to wait for God's move of the Spirit. It's already happening. We just got to step in. That's all we have to do. Things are increasing. But we don't have to wait for some big move of the Spirit. The move of the Spirit is here. The whole thing is He's getting us cleaned up so we can receive more. Amen? The key to prospering is obedience. The key to obedience is what? Come on. The key to prospering is what? Obedience. The key to obedience is faith. The key to faith is God's word. Hearing. Not assumption. Hearing. Amen? Use what God has given you. If you're faithful a little, He'll give you more. Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. And Lord, I pray and I ask in the mighty name of Your Son, Jesus, that an impartation will be brought to each and every one of us, Lord. That we would walk in obedience. Lord, that we constantly deny ourselves. That prosperity would be manifested first in a relationship with You. First and most of all, a prosperous relationship with You. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen.